Hello and welcome back to Commodity Conversations by the team at Mercado, the podcast where we keep you up to date with the latest trends, drivers and moves in livestock, grain and oilseed and fibre markets. My name's Olivia Agar. Thanks for listening into episode 268. Prime lamb production and profitability is the focus for today's episode. We have John Francis, Director of Agrista Agricultural Consultancy, who's been benchmarking the performance of prime lamb businesses for many years, joining us today to share his insights into some of the key drivers that are impacting profitability for prime lamb businesses. First, a few updates from the market this week, and it was a pretty interesting one for the lamb market with disruption from the Middle Eastern conflict affecting the light lamb market. In Monday's Bendigo sale, the market report from MLA noted that lighter weight and bag lambs were $20 to $40 per head cheaper, with regular processing orders not operating, putting it down to air freight to the Middle East being disrupted. Now, Israel was forced to shut down its airspace, both for domestic and international routes, entirely on Saturday, and the risk to aircraft prompted Iraq, Jordan, and Lebanon to all close their skies. But all countries were up and running again on Sunday morning, opening their airspace again, but a number of flights were cancelled and delayed due to that disruption. And also the flooding in the region has also caused havoc at airports, no doubt adding to the disruption across the week for flights. Closer to home, roads and paddocks have begun to dry out, allowing the backlog of cattle from really soaked areas of Queensland and New South Wales to start to hit the market. So the influx of cattle outweighed demand at last week's price point, and most markets ended softer this week. However, the weather forecast hints that it might not be long before cattle movement grinds to a crawl again in the north, with up to 100 mil on the 10-day forecast for parts of central and southern Queensland. That's it from me today. I'll leave you with Rob Herman and John Francis.
Well, thank you, Olivia. Yes, today we're going to be talking about benchmarking and enterprise benchmarking. And I was really interested to read an article that came out from Agrista, and John Francis is the author of it. I'm welcoming John to our podcast today, but John... That title you used was really catchy. What was it? Mary had a little lamb and its fleece was worth bugger all.
Yeah, that's right. It was probably a bit of a throwaway line to capture people's attention, but the idea is that it's Prime Lamb Enterprise is a specialist meat production enterprise, but the article that you're referring to really talked about the wool component. And I guess the point I was making from that wool component discussion was that not very long ago, only 5 or 10 years, you know, the wool component of that prime lamb, even though it is a specialist enterprise, was worth significantly more than it is today. Now, the issue with that, of course, is that it means that you've got to drive harder in the meat production side of your business to deliver the same profit, which was the message I really wanted to deliver. Now, I understand that, you know, wool is a byproduct of a specialist meat production business. Having said that, you know, you've got to become better and better where that byproduct is worth less and less. And not only that, Rob, I think the other point that I really wanted to make about that was even the income side has reduced from, you know, roughly $9 per DSE down to $3 per DSE on the wool side. But at the same time, the cost of harvesting that has actually increased. So you're getting a bit of a double whammy on that bit that, you know, is not that great for you, but used to contribute a bit and now contributes a lot less.
Well, you've mentioned a few facts and figures there, John. Just explain the Agrista benchmarking data you have. Where's it come from? How long you've been collecting it? And what sort of analysis are you making of it?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a carryover from a business that I previously was involved with, which was Home Sackett. And we had a pretty large data set where we investigated around 200 farm businesses across southeastern Australia. Our data set's not quite that level at the moment, but it's growing, which is great. And in that, effectively, The majority are from southeastern Australia, and they're primarily livestock businesses. Now, the data set as it sits at the moment is about worth, I think there's $2.8 billion worth of assets under management. In the prime lamb data set, there's about 570,000 DSEs, and that equates to about 210,000 ewes joined. Now, of that data, about 20% are rangelands enterprises, so less than 450 mils, and the rest are in high rainfall sort of zone of the prime lamb data anyway.
So just tell us a little bit how that data looked to you. So there's obviously, all farm enterprises are different. We know that. And when you collect data, you've got to then look at it objectively and make some sense of it. Just tell us what sort of the ranges of data of data points you were collecting in that analysis.
Yeah, well, every year there's a big range. Everyone thinks because you're involved with a benchmarking data set that you're dealing with the elite end of production. To some extent, that's right because people actually, it's a biased data set in so much as people choose to pay us to get their data analysed. But there is a big range in that data set from big losses to reasonable levels of profit. But one of the things I guess I note about the prime lamb enterprise, and it's not palatable, and I've had some kickback on this, is that prime lamb enterprises are not as profitable as the remainder. And when I talk the remainder, I'm really talking about wool, beef, and even dual purpose enterprises, which is a merino joined to a terminal type enterprise. Now, and people are shocked when they hear that. And they're shocked, I think, because the income line has gone up for a long time. But at the same time, or even a greater rate, the cost base has gone up with it. And so the margins actually haven't increased over time. And they need to, because what's happened is land values have increased at the same or a greater rate than profits. And so what you get is a reduction in profitability, which is operating profit relative to the value of the resources that you're managing. So, in terms of the fundamentals, prime lamb isn't pulling its weight. It's not a criticism of the enterprise. It's a statement of fact on the basis of the data that I have. And I don't think the data that I have is inconsistent with other data sets that I've looked at. But there's no reason to get upset or about it. I guess the real message that I want to deliver is now's the time to work out how you can actually change that. And move forward and actually deliver some value out of the enterprise, which is, I think, a very challenging enterprise to manage. So I think part of what I'm seeing here when I look at prime lambs relative to other businesses is there is a lot of complexity there. And I think that complexity is often overlooked and people take components of it and say, oh, well, I'll just fix that by doing this. But as with most things, Rob, that you would know in a complex biological system, the tentacles are long and they interact with each other. So when you just do something in one part, there may be an unintended consequence somewhere else. And I think, I think that's what we actually see in prime lamb enterprises.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that you put up a table or a chart looking at how you can deliver a 4% operating return, given that the wool component profit is now gone into a negative number. And look, for those who want to see more about this, just jump on the Agrista website and you'll see this article in full. But you make an interesting couple of observations. Firstly, that the value of the assets managed since 2019, I think it is, has increased by 80%. So that's going to make it harder to make a target operating profit of, let's say, 4%. Just talk to us about what needs to happen to the lamb enterprise or the lamb sale component of the enterprise to achieve that 4% operating profit since 2019.
Yeah, so again, One of the issues with numbers is you can manipulate them a little bit to deliver a compelling case one way or another, Rob. But effectively, I guess the point I was making is that the cost of production of the average producer at the moment sits at around, I think, I can't remember exactly, but it's greater than $6.50 per kilo of carcass weight. Now, operating profits, if the value of land sits at $1,200 a DSE or $1,260 or whatever it was in that article, then and you're targeting an operating return on assets managed, which is an assessment of profit relative to the value of assets under management. So that's land, livestock, plant, equipment, that sort of thing. So if the denominator sits at 1,263 and you want 4%, multiply 4% by 1,263 and you get about $50 a DSE worth of operating profit. Now, if the cost of production sits at $6.50 or greater than $6.50, then you divide that $50 worth of profit or thereabouts by 10 kilos per DSE, in fairness, is a pretty aggressive target. Not everyone's achieving that level of production. Then it means prices have for a prime lamb have to hit about, $11 or $12 to generate that 4% return. Now, it was a bit of a throwaway line, and I'm going to, I guess, rather than shocking people into thinking that the enterprise has no hope, I'd rather talk to the ways that you can actually manipulate that. And I guess one of the ways is bring your cost of production from $6.50 back to, $4.50. And now you start to look at an enterprise that really only has to generate a $9.50 from the lamb component to actually still retain a reasonable margin. However, that's not easy to do, Rob. And when I look at our data set and look at the proportion of people that are actually, generating a cost of production of that level, well, there's 10% or thereabouts that actually have a cost of production under $4.50. So it is a significant challenge. Now, the other point I should raise here is, if I'm talking numbers that you don't, and you're a prime lamb producer, and you don't even know what your cost of production is, and granted, it's hard because you've got wool income in there, you've got sheep trading, which is usually a loss, which you have to account for in that cost of production, and you've got trading lamb as part of the income distribution. So you do actually have to account for them when you're looking at cost of production. But if you don't know how to do that, that's a great starting point. At least know your numbers. Now, how to improve that, I think there's some key targets in your system that you can actually, deliver on, and they will help to drive a low cost of production. And a low cost of production is typically driven by driving that production line, the denominator line, rather than focusing too much on the cost. But some people have got plenty of production, but a cost control, a cost which is cost base, which is way out of control. And that's no good either, because it means the operating margin won't be adequate to allow you to achieve a reasonable return, which is what you need to grow and all the other things you need to do with that operating profit.
So I'm talking today on Commodity Conversations with John Francis from Agrista, and I did respond to your article, John, saying that, I really appreciated the fact that while it's a confronting article, and you just mentioned some of the reasons why perhaps farmers are confronted by it, it's also based on data and analysis, and it's where, if you're going to make some assessments on your enterprise, it's the starting point. And just flesh out a little bit more about what farmers could be doing, and I guess it starts from understanding, what their cost base is.
Yes, that's right. So I think the first thing you can do is start measuring these things. Now, obviously I've got a vested interest in the fact that I've got a benchmarking database, and I'd love to for everyone to benchmark their business because I can play with the data more and understand more about profitable systems. But you can do it yourself. It doesn't matter how you do it, but just start the journey. The second bit is then start learning about the interaction between some of these components. So what drives the financial outcome is the combination of the cost base and the productivity. Now, the productivity, there's one of the challenges with this prime land business is that there's so many bits and pieces. And I think if you get one of them wrong, you quickly go from an elite level of production to average production. And the difference in profit between elite and average this year was a fivefold difference. Now, usually it's a twofold difference. Either way, it's not great. So I think understanding some of those components, and one of those, everyone's fixated on winning percentage. But interestingly, when I look through our data set, there are people there with weaning percentages. And when I'm talking weaning percentage, I'm talking lambs weaned to ewes joined. And when I look at those, what I see is there's people with very high weaning percentages, but there's a lot with reasonably low weaning percentages. So it's not the only thing to focus on, is really the measure there. So the second one is, how many ewes join per hectare per 100 mils do you actually achieve, and or are you stocked at? And a target there is greater than one ewe join per hectare per 100 mils. And then I guess another target is to achieve above 22 kilos per hectare per 100 mils. And there's any number of ways of doing that. It could be there are people in that top cohort that get there by stocking at a very high number of ewes joined per hectare per 100 mil. So, over 1.2 ewes joined per hectare per 100 mils. And they don't need as much weight in their lambs at sale. But there's others that are stocked under one ewe joined per hectare per 100 mils. Now, those typically do need a reasonable proportion. So those ones need the weight in their lambs to generate that number of kilos per hectare. So there's a lot of ways of slicing and dicing the end product or the combination. But the most important thing is that you're driving those kilos per hectare of lamb, because what that does is actually dilutes the cost structure. Now, the other point I want to make here is you can't do it at any cost. There's a lot of people out there saying, yep, and just feed my ewe lambs, or put more feed into my adult ewes and that sort of thing. Well, that comes at a cost, and that might be fine. The point I want to make about that is just to understand the marginal benefit relative to the marginal cost. And if the additional feed is generating you a great benefit in terms of the kilos that you produce in lamb, then go nuts. But if the additional feed isn't offset by the additional kilos, then it's probably not serving the purpose that you may think it is. And this is where the long tentacles and so on are really important, because I think, additional weaning percentage, for example, comes with lots more triplets and twins. Now, if they're highly valuable, then that's okay, and they are, because they're typically only on for a very small proportion of the year. But the challenge is that they usually gain weight at a lower rate, and so you've just got to think about all those interactions when you're putting all this together. And one of the challenges is thinking about all those interactions. There's a lot of them in a prime lamb enterprise, in my experience.
Well, John, it's been fascinating talking to you today, and I want to congratulate you because, as you know, we consider ourselves data-driven as well. But it's always good when you get some data and you can stimulate some conversation, and you've certainly done that with this article. But more importantly, the data is only as good as the story it can tell, and you've done a good job at explaining that. So again, I would encourage anybody who wants to see more about this, have a look at the Agrista website and you'll see the article. But also, consider that benchmarking, and I think, John, the logical thing for benchmarking is then to look at where you can improve it, and being involved in groups such as your benchmarking group would certainly do that.
Yeah, that's right. I think the value often, and one of my frustrations is people get their data and they spend a lot of time putting the data in, and they get it back and they have a quick look and put it on the shelf, that's when the work starts. You know, as you know, from one analyst to another, Rob, you know, and people that love numbers, it's easy for us. But when it's not easy for you, but that's the discipline. You should be taking your head out of that operational space, spending time in those numbers and start working out, well, what are the relationships? What if I was to change this? What would be the impact on this? You know, how would it change my cost structure? How many more lambs would I need to offset that cost? What's the interaction between, you know, the number of ewes joined? What happens to my energy requirements if I change, you know, lambing date or time of turnoff? All of those things, which can be reasonably complex, are often fleshed out in the type of data that we produce. So I'm pleased that there's another analyst out there who was interested in the article, Rob. And I know as from one person that loves data to another, I also love the stuff you do because it often frames the modelling and so on that we do to work out some of these interactions.
Well, John, thanks very much. And it's been a fantastic chat today, very informative. Thanks for coming on Commodity Conversations. All the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.